Computer. All right, Psalm 73, and we're going to open in prayer. Father, just minister to us right now. We just all have these needs. It seems that we're all feeling ill, and we just want to bring this to you for your healing. And we thank you in any event. We thank you for health, and we thank you for sickness, because in all things we know you have preeminence. We ask that you administer yourself to us now as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, John, before I forget, I promised Cammie that I would check with you. Now, I don't know how you're going to be feeling tonight, but when's a good time if we have a Zoom meeting?
I don't know. I can probably accommodate any time because I don't really have anything going on.
Well, I'm assuming that Cammie would probably, it's going to be around 5, 5:30, the usual time.
Okay.
So I'm trying to be
I'm definitely not going to
free.
be doing anything at 8 o'clock anyway.
I'm going to try to be free from 5 on. I'll plan for an early supper, and I'll tell Cammie, pick a time, that's good. Okay.
Oh, I think that because I was talking to her briefly yesterday
Yeah, she
and
called me,
mentioned
so I know
some of
what
the
you're going to
things.
say.
Okay. Yeah, just to you, so you're not blindsided. I
I'm
mentioned some
not
things
blindsided.
that you had mentioned. I thought she thought that that was very intriguing, and so she wanted to pursue that a little bit further.
Yeah, and I guess assumed that you'd like to be in the conversation too. So,
Yeah. Carmen, do we have food? Are you going to go bring it up here?
don't overwork Carmen because she's sick too, John.
Do you
So,
want me to go get it, babes? All right.
all right. This you get stressed out and your system breaks down. God is truly good to Israel, to those whose heart is pure. As for me, my feet had almost strayed. My steps were nearly led off course, for I envied the wanton. I saw the wicked at ease. Death has no pangs for them. Their body is healthy. They have no part in the travail of men. They are not afflicted like the rest of mankind. So pride adorns their necks. Lawlessness enwraps them as a mantle. Fat shuts out their eyes. Their fancies are extravagant. They scoff and plan evil. From their eminence, they plan wrongdoing. They set their mouths against heaven, and their tongues range over the earth. So they pound his people again and again, until they have drained their very last tear. Then they say, "How could God know? Is there knowledge with the Most High?" Such are the wicked. Ever tranquil, they amass wealth. It was for nothing that I kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, seeing that I have been constantly afflicted, that each morning brings new punishments. Had I decided to say these things, I should have been false to the circle of your disciples. So I applied myself to understand this, but it seemed a hopeless task, till I entreated God's sanctuary and reflected on their fate. You surround them with flattery. You make them fall through blandishments. How suddenly are they ruined, wholly swept away by terrors. When you are aroused, you despise their image as one does a dream after waking, O Lord. My mind was stripped of its reason. My feelings were numbed. I was a dolt without knowledge. I was brutish towards you. Yet I was always with you. You held my right hand. You guided me by your counsel and led me toward honor. Whom else have I in heaven? And having you, I want no one on earth. My body and mind fail, but God is the stay of my mind, my portion forever. Those who keep far from you perish. You annihilate all who are untrue to you. As for me, nearness to God is good. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may recount all your works.
This is an excellent psalm. I think it's beautiful. And it reminds me a lot of something that you'd find in Ecclesiastes.
Which is
Particularly, well, just the way that it's laid out, where it starts by saying the wicked are thriving and they're proud and successful and God doesn't know. And then when it starts in verse 15, it's like, if I had said these things, it's It's
Yeah,
like,
it states
then
the
I
case in the
turn.
negative. It's a lot
Right.
like Job in that too, where you have both. In fact, I was reading in Job this morning, and it's exactly like that, because Job is he brings a case against God that's extremely, just you almost think, wow, this is going too far. Now, the Bible's testimony of Job is that he didn't go too far, but he really questions what's happening to him. So it's interesting how, I guess it's because God knows our hearts and knows the things we, the how we're going to think. And in order to answer those questions, it has to be laid out that way to make a fair argument, because it does seem that way to us. And yet it's not really true. Of course it's not true ultimately, but but we say that sometimes, even I'm my saying it right now, as if, well, that doesn't count, because as long as they're having a good time now and everything is good now, who cares about what's going to happen later? But that is very foolish. And to a great extent, and I think it's pointed out in the psalm, it's not even true for the now. You know how it says in verse 19, you surround them with flattery? It's like there's this falseness. Yeah, everything is good, but it's good materially in the context of falseness. They think they're free, and yet they're slaves to every opinion and every fashion, they think they have all the power, but there's always somebody over them who has more power and is telling them what to do. They believe things, they're afraid, even though they pretend to be bold, they are afraid. They're afraid of all kinds of things, as we've seen with the COVID-19. They're panicked by it because they know they have no hope after this life.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they were so terrified.
It's certainly. And yet, for the one who knows God, you've got this verse, this realization that regardless of what we go through or how discouraged we might become, yet I was always with you. It's even in the midst of our doubt and our feeling far from God, he hasn't abandoned us. And the other realization, whom else have I in heaven? This is verse 25. And having you, I want no one on earth. So, very good, though. You're having lunch now, John?
Yeah, but I can read.
No, that's okay. I'll read it. I'll read the next one too. It's going to be difficult to eat and read.
I
Why,
can
O
pause.
God, do you forever reject us? Do you fume in anger at the flock that you tend? Remember the community you made yours long ago, your very own tribe that you redeemed, Mount Zion, where you dwell. Bestir yourself because of the perpetual tumult. All the outrages of the enemy in the sanctuary. Your foes roar inside your meeting place. They take their signs for true signs. It's like men wielding axes against a gnarled tree with hatchet and pike. They hacked away at its carved work. They made your sanctuary go up in flames. They brought low and dishonored the dwelling place of your presence. They resolved, let us destroy them altogether. They burned all God's tabernacles in the land. No signs appear for us. There's no longer any prophet. No one among us knows for how long. Till when, O God, will the foe blaspheme? Will the enemy forever revile your name? Why do you hold back your hand, your right hand? Draw it out of your bosom. O God, my King from of old, who brings deliverance throughout the land, it was you who drove back the sea with your might, who smashed the heads of the monsters in the waters. It was you who crushed the heads of Leviathan, who left them as food for the denizens of the desert. It was you who released springs and torrents, who made mighty rivers run dry. The day is yours, the night also. It was you who set in place the orb of the sun. You fixed all the boundaries of the earth, summer and winter. You made them. Be mindful of how the enemy blasphemes the Lord, how base people revile your name. Do not deliver your dove to the wild beasts. Do not ignore forever the band of your lowly ones. Look to the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the haunts of lawlessness. Let not the downtrodden turn away disappointed. Let the poor and needy praise your name. Rise, O God, champion your cause. Be mindful that you are blasphemed by base men all day long. Do not ignore the shouts of your foes, the din of your adversaries that ascends all the time. There's another questioning psalm, I guess, huh, John?
Yeah.
This one I think is a
All
little
right.
different in that it's not just, I think the previous one questioned the prosperity of the wicked. This is questioning how God allows the wicked to have, attack his people and his interests on earth.
Yeah, I was going to mention that too. Three and four, it's a reminder that his enemies are in his own sanctuary, and that's really not brought out a lot. Like when we were talking the other day about
Yeah,
leaders
I
and stuff like
know.
that, right? We always think that everybody here, like we're all one. And it's a good reminder when scripture says, your enemies roar in the midst of your meeting place, which is really interesting. Also, verse 20, that's always been a favorite verse of mine. I love that where it says, for the dark places of the earth are full of the haunts of cruelty. I always love that expression.
I was picking up on the translation I'm reading where it says the haunts of lawlessness, because we were talking about lawlessness the other day when,
Yeah.
and that is the mystery of iniquity or the mystery of lawlessness. It's so I think you see that in times like we're living it then now, and this and these are not unique times. They're unique in the fact that perhaps we're closer to the end now, and there may be an additional significance to that. But it is also, like John said, there back in the days of the apostles, there are many antichrists, and he was saying that 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was lawlessness in the past, and I can reading this, the David was thinking of the Jewish community, and certainly the Jews have gone through all this and probably have read these verses and felt exactly what's being said here when they've been persecuted over and over again, and their meeting places were destroyed, the Torah was burned, they were persecuted, forbidden to practice their religion. And the Christians had that experience. That phrase where it says they burned all God's tabernacles in the land, this attempt to destroy, let us destroy them all together. There were attempts during the Middle Ages to wipe out everyone who, really was trying to worship God faithfully.
Yeah, even as you were mentioning the times that we're living in are not unique. We say the same thing in verse 9, where it says, We do not see your signs. Like, in other
Yeah,
words,
no signs. There's
there is
no,
no longer any
nobody
prophet,
knows.
and that's another thing too. It's like there's no one who you can turn to or hear an encouraging word. And also, I've asked that question too, where it says, "Oh God, how long will the adversary reproach, enemy blaspheme your name forever?" I mean, you see people sinning today with a high hand, and it's amazing how God doesn't just destroy them right then and there. I mean, that's what verse 11 says,
I think what we have do see in the Bible is that God is very, well, he says he's long suffering. But it always seems when that it goes to the point where the enemy thinks, like it says here, that where they think they've won, so to speak, that they've accomplished their objective. Look at Haman in the book of Esther, right? The one who was going to destroy all the Jews. You know the story, right, Jim? But
He
it's
gets
the
I
very day, it's right up to he's got the scaffold erected where he's going to hang Mordecai, because he insulted him. He's got the edict. It's, ready to be signed to wipe out all the Jews. And it's on that day that the whole thing is blown up in his face. And
That's well said. It was like the very last minute.
yeah, the very last minute. Same thing with Hezekiah. He has the largest army in the world surrounding him in Jerusalem. The army that has wiped out every other major, this army
Every other
dominating
empire.
any of every, yeah, it's the dominant empire. It's the one where it's the empire that is now ruling the world at that time. And the general saying, don't let to the people on the wall, he says, don't let Hezekiah deceive you, thinking that God, your God's going to save you. No, nobody else's God saved him. And
That's
that
another excellent
night,
example.
God intervenes and wipes out, devastates their army, causing them to have to leave. Not sure the exact, it was the big, actually, that event was the beginning of the downfall of the Assyrian Empire, because they were succeeded by Babylon. The Babylonians were out there. And that defeat triggered a lot of things. It triggered Sennacherib's sons to kill him when he got back to his capital. And his own sons killed him. And then shortly after, the whole Assyrian reign fell to the Babylonians. So it looked like everything, they were going to succeed. And it was, little did they know, that was the beginning of the end. And I'm sure it's the way it is now. Look at Rome persecuting the Christians and the Jews. Little did they know that was the beginning of the end. Now, it was a long end for Rome. But the barbarians were already at the gates when they were persecuting the Christians. Just it was. They didn't know, but it was over for them in inevitably.
Those are excellent observations. It's like he gives them enough room so that they're fully relying on their confidence and success.
And I think it's the same way now.
Yeah.
There's all this talk about, starting a new world order and building back better, and
Yeah.
but
Another
their
world.
doom is already in place. They just don't know it.
Yeah.
The next thing they're going to hear is Babylon has fallen, and the merchants of the world are going to be weeping and wailing and mourning, that everything they
Yeah.
put their hope in is now falling apart.
Yeah.
Coupled with, they're worried about climate change. they're going to see a lot more than climate change.
Yeah.
So, God is not absent from the picture.
Yeah, that's something that we should keep in front of our
I think
minds.
so. Why, oh God, do you forever reject us? Do you fume in anger? Is that the one I just read? Yes,
Well,
that's
it's
74.
125 now.
So we're on 75 now.
I can read it if you want to.
Okay, please.
Thanksgiving for God's righteous judgment. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your wondrous works. Declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted.
Well, that's pretty, fits just right in with what we've been
We
saying.
were just talking about people sinning today flagrantly with a high hand. And I guess that's how I read that they're lifting up their horn on high and they have stiff neck. But he.
And this cup is, I was speaking of
It's a.
Babylon, and
Right. I was going to say that in Revelation,
Revelation it
it
talks
talks
about
about
that.
filling up the cup of the wrath of his indignation and that he will make them drink it to the full, right? That this is surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain.
Yeah, I just wanted to find that passage. You can read it in Revelation. It's amazing. Let's see. It's a car. Well, it's hard. It's funny time.
Oh, actually, I see that there's several references.
Yeah, they probably are. What?
There's Isaiah
Okay, that's good. Let's check that out.
51.
What was that? Which reference?
Isaiah 51:17.
5117.
Wait, this is three.
Let
This
me
is
look
three.
at it.
Oh, wake yourself, stand up, O Jerusalem. You who have drunk
I
from
wouldn't be surprised that there were one in Isaiah.
you have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath. You have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering. So there's one in Isaiah 51:17.
Now in 51,
And then 22 as well.
it's not referring to the enemy, but it's acknowledging the fact
Oh,
that
yeah,
the
that's a good point.
Zion has experienced judgment and has drunk all of this wrath, but it's saying there's going to be a time when they're restored. So, what other
And then
references?
the last one, well, I think all of the other ones probably are also directed towards Israel
Oh, really?
as
Okay.
I'm reading them.
Well,
But
that's
the other
strange
one
because.
we were looking at was Revelation 14:10. He also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb.
Now, that's referring to the beast, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
That's.
where's the one about Babylon?
Oh. Let's see.
I'll check my concordance while we're at it. I got this. It shouldn't be. I've got a concordance online too. Let me check it over here.
That's Revelation 18, right?
Find out in a minute.
I
I'm
think
just going to
it's
search on cup,
18,
believe
10.
it or not. I know there'd be a ton of them.
Yeah, woe, woe to you, great city, you mighty city of Babylon. In 1 hour, your doom has come.
Can't do it, but the way I was trying to hold it a minute, I'm going to look it up. I got to pull up my big concordance. Won't take long. No, please don't do that. All right, here we are. Cup. There's tons of verses, but Jeremiah. I'm just going to read some of the, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. Jeremiah 51:7, Babylon hath been given a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Now, I think that's largely where I think Revelation is drawing on this cup in the hand of Babylon. Now, if I go to Revelation, Revelation 14:10, I think is the one you read, right? And then there is Revelation 16:19, and the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And then Revelation 17:4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having the golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And then in 18:6, it says, reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and so shall see no sorrow. So that cup image, the cup of the wrath of God, it's we see it here in Psalms.
What I think is interesting is that, as we mentioned, Psalm 73 asks a question from the perspective of the prosperity of the
Yep.
world. 74 asks questions from the standpoint of the enemy in the sanctuary.
Right.
Both of them ask, how long, when are you going to destroy them? 75 seems to provide an answer.
Yeah, it's the pra it starts with praise to God.
Right. And, in verse 2, it goes, when I choose the proper time. In other words, I'm not going to be rushed or influenced by anything outside of myself. When I choose the proper time, that's when I will execute judgment. When I do, I will execute it uprightly and perfectly.
There is a cup on the Lord's hand.
Yeah.
All the wicked, from this he pours, all the wicked of the earth drink.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Oh,
So let's
number
keep.
76. All right. The majesty of God in judgment. In Judah, God is known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion. There he broke the arrows of the bow, the shield and sword of battle. You are more glorious and excellent than
Can you
the animal.
stop there just a minute?
Sure.
Notice how he's saying he makes himself known in Judah, and there he broke the fiery arrows of the bow. There's a
Yes.
passage that says that God is going to draw all the nations, the armies of the world, towards Jerusalem And that they're going to be overthrown. This is the Battle of Armageddon.
Huh. You know, the commentary says Psalm 76 is a psalm of praise with a strong focus on the fear of God. The psalm has four movements. One is a celebration of the center of worship in Jerusalem, as you said, a celebration of the victories of God against his enemies, a description of the fear of the earth at the anger of God, and an exhortation to the righteous to worship the Lord.
And
So
that
you're saying that what?
I'm
That
saying
being
that
called to propagate
there's a
Jerusalem as
literal aspect to this, that it will be literally in Judah that the judgment is taking place.
Oh, I didn't know that Salem is the shortened form of the name Jerusalem.
Yeah, it is.
Huh.
That for, yeah, it's Salem is and Jerusalem are one. They're two forms of the same city.
Should I continue?
Yeah.
You are more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stout-hearted were plundered. They have sunk into their sleep, and none of the mighty men have found the use of their hands. At your rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse were cast into a dead sleep. You yourself are to be feared, and who may stand in your presence when once you are angry? You caused judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still when God arose to judgment to deliver all the oppressed of the earth. Surely the wrath of men shall praise you. With the remainder of wrath, you shall gird yourself. Make vows to the Lord your God and pay them. Let all who are around him bring presents to him who ought to be feared. He shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is awesome to the kings of the earth.
That
I like
verse.
this. Surely the wrath, 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise you. That, you know, that's something that Pink always talks about, that even the God will be glorified in not only the salvation of his elect, but the destruction of the wicked too. So all of those things will serve to his glory. And this says, you know, even the wrath of man will be used as a form of praise.
Yeah, I like the King James translation. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, the remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. In other words, it's not that allows the wicked to act in a way that goes beyond what is to his glory. It's restrained. It's ultimately in his control. Only the amount that will bring praise to him is allowed, and then there's a limit.
Yeah. Anything else?
Let's see. 13, verse 13. I want to look and see how that's. Is there? No. Okay, let's go on. I'll read seven. What are we up to? 77 now? I cry aloud to God. I cry to God that he may give ear to me. In my time of distress, I turn to the Lord with my hand uplifted. My eyes flow all night without respite. I will not be comforted. I call God to mind. I moan. I complain. My spirit fails. You have held my eyelids open. I am overwrought. I cannot speak. My thoughts turn to days of old, 2 years long past. Recall at night that drives at me. I commune with myself. My spirit inquires. Will the Lord reject forever and never again show favor? Has his faithfulness disappeared forever? Will this promise be unfulfilled for all time? Has for God forgotten how to pity? Has he in anger stifled his compassion? And I said, it is my fault that the right hand of the Most High has changed. I recall the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I recall your wonders of old. I recount all your works. I speak of your acts. O God, your ways are holiness. What God is as great as God? You are the God who works wonders. You have manifested your strength among the peoples. By your arm you redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and were convulsed. The very deep quaked as well. Clouds streamed water. The heavens rumbled. Your arrows flew about. Your thunder rumbled like wheels. Lightning lit up the world. The earth quaked and trembled. Your way through the sea, your path through the mighty waters, your tracks could not be seen. You led your people like a flock in the care of Moses and Aaron. Can I say?
It's just recalling God's faithfulness.
Very poetic and mysterious the way it's described, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Psalm 78 is a long psalm. Very long. Do you see that one?
Say yeah. Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3 pages in my Bible. I think, well, what do you want to do? You want to try to tap? We have 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think we can do it. It's a recap, just to, as a prelude to this. It's a recap of God's faithfulness in the midst of Israel's unfaithfulness and the lessons, the discipline of God during to instruct them and bring them to
Well,
repentance.
my commentary says that only Psalm 119 is longer than this.
Yeah, it's because it recaps the entire history. Let's read it. Give ear, my people, to my teaching. Turn your ear to what I say. I will expound the theme. Hold forth on the lessons of the past, things we have heard and known that our fathers have told us. We will not withhold them from their children, telling the coming generation the praises of the Lord and his might and the wonders he performed. He established a decree in Jacob, ordained a teaching in Israel, charging our fathers to make them known to their children, that a future generation might know, children yet to be born, and in turn tell their children, that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's great deeds, but observe his commandments and not be like their fathers, a wayward and defiant generation, a generation whose heart was inconstant, whose spirit was not true to God. Like the Ephraimite bowmen who played false in the day of battle, they did not keep God's covenant. They refused to follow his instruction. They forgot his deeds and the wonders that he showed them. He performed marvels in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, the plain of Zoan. He split the sea and took them through it. He made the water stand like a wall. He led them with a cloud by day and throughout the night by the light of fire. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as if from the great deep. He brought forth streams from a rock and made them flow down like a river. But they went on sinning against him, defying the Most High in the parched land. To test God was in their mind when they demanded food for themselves. That's an interesting verse. It's saying there that what they really wanted was not the food as much as to prove
Like a
that
demonstration.
God, yeah, a demonstration or to provoke a demonstration from God that he
Yeah.
would take care of them. That's fascinating. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a feast in the wilderness?" True, he struck the rock and waters flowed, streams gushed forth, but can he provide bread? Can he supply his people with meat? Boy, that sounds the way we think a lot sometimes, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
He can do this, but can he do that? You know, the other thing. And that's the whole essence of doubt.
Yeah.
The Lord heard and he raged. Fire broke out against Jacob. Anger flared up at Israel because they did not put their trust in God, but did not rely on his deliverance. So he commanded the skies above. He opened the doors of heaven and rained manna upon them for food, giving them heavenly grain. Each man ate a hero's meal. He sent them provision in plenty. He set the east wind moving in heaven and drove the south wind by his might. He rained meat on them like dust, winged birds like the sands of the sea, making them come down inside his camp, around his dwelling place. They ate till they were sated. He gave them what they craved. They had not yet wearied of what they craved. The food was still in their mouths when God's anger flared up at them. He slew their sturdiest, struck down the youth of Israel. Nonetheless, they went on sinning and had no faith in his wonders. He made their days end in futility, their years in sudden death. When he struck them, they turned to him and sought God once again. They remembered that God was their rock, God Most High, their Redeemer. Yet they deceived him with their speech, lied to him with their words. Their hearts were inconstant toward him. They were untrue to his covenant. But he, being merciful, forgave iniquity and would not destroy. He restrained his wrath time and again and did not give full vent to his fury. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a passing breath that does not return. How often did they defy him in the wilderness? Did they grieve him in the wasteland? And again, they tested God, vexed the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his strength or the day he redeemed them from the foe, how he displayed his signs in Egypt, his wonders in the plain of Zoan. He turned their rivers into blood. He made their waters undrinkable. He inflicted upon them swarms of insects to devour them, frogs to destroy them. He gave their crops over to grubs, their produce to locusts. He killed their vines with hail, their sycamores with frost. He gave their beasts over to hail, their cattle to lightning bolts. He inflicted his burning anger upon them, wrath, indignation, trouble, a band of deadly messengers. He cleared a path for his anger. He did not stop short of slaying them, but gave them over to pestilence. He struck every firstborn in Egypt, the firstfruits of their vigor, and the tents of Ham. He set his people moving like sheep, drove them like a flock in the wilderness. He led them in safety. They were unafraid. As for their enemies, the sea covered them. He brought them to his holy realm, the mountain his right hand had acquired. He expelled nations before them, settled the tribes of Israel in their tents, allotting them their portion by the line. Yet they defiantly tested God Most High and did not observe his decrees. They fell away, disloyal like their fathers. They played false like a treacherous bow. They vexed them with their high places. They incensed them with their idols. God heard it and was enraged. He utterly rejected Israel. He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had set among men. He let his might go into captivity, his glory into the hands of the foe. He gave his people over to the sword. He was enraged at his very own. Fire consumed their young men, and their maidens remained unwed. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows could not weep. The Lord awoke us from sleep like a warrior shaking off wine. He beat back his foes, dealing them lasting disgrace. He rejected the clan of Joseph. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. He did choose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heavens, like the earth that he established forever. He chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. He brought him from minding the nursing ewes to tend his people, Jacob, Israel, his very own. He tended them with blameless heart, with skillful hands, he led them. You know. I wonder if that is, at the end is prophetic too about Christ when it's talking about he chose David because I don't know about the, I'm sort of I'm saying that because of the chronology here. He says Ephraim or the northern tribes.
Well, yeah, I think my commentary suggests the same thing.
What
It
I'm just
says,
wanted to, yeah, go on.
no, I don't want to interrupt your thought. Go ahead.
I was saying that because I don't know when, what point in time the psalm was composed, but there was a time when Ephraim was rejected in the sense that they were the first to fall to Assyria, and they were taken cap you know removed from the land. And at the time Sennacherib came to attack Judah, that was the only presence. There was no northern presence anymore in Israel. So the entire leadership was in the hands of David's descendants at that point in time. That's literally true. And I think it's also pointing to Christ as the Son of David. What does the commentary you have
Yeah,
say
it's
anything
not
more?
really that much. It just says the words of praise for David are very close to 1 Kings 9:4, suggesting some connection between the two passages. The shepherding attributed to David is an ideal. It will be fully realized in the Savior King, Jesus, the true shepherd, which is Psalm 23 and John 10. So.
Very good. Well, okay, so that takes us up to Psalm 79. We'll make a note of that for our next meeting.
So we did 73, that's 78
We
last
did five. Yeah.
It's down to
Which,
my reference when I post it.
yeah, I got it, Mark. I will end the recording at this time.